What's up, everybody? Welcome to a random podcast episode. I'm not really sure, if we're going to keep doing this, if this is something we're going to continue to do here over here at Shooting the Sports-ish, but, we give you guys a lot of random comments, content here. Like, we give you the sports-ish content, right? We give you the content talking about sports all the time. Why not add some pop culture and some random things that are happening throughout the world here to do that? But we're going to talk about a few things on this week's episode, and I think I'll probably do this every Saturday. We're going to talk about WandaVision. We're going to talk about AEW and New Japan's merger. I'm not in the loop with wrestling so much as I used to be, but we're still going to talk about what I know that's going on right now because that's exciting to me. We're going to talk about Jose Canseco and the Barstool thing that happened last night, maybe some game stonks, talk about some other things, talk for about an hour about some random stuff here and see how you guys like this, this podcast episode, see if this is something we might continue doing in the future. But before that, let's hit the bumper. Let's start this week with probably the biggest news, I would say, in sports right now, or in sports entertainment right now, which would be the AEW and New Japan merger. I find it to be very, very interesting that we finally see this forbidden door opening. So if you don't know already, let me see if I can find it, show it on the screen here. Kenta jumped up and showed up on AEW Dynamite this week. We are going to talk about WandaVision. We'll talk about WandaVision here in just a second, but she showed up, or Kenta shows up. And we know that Kenta had the briefcase to go after the New Japan United States title. And so since they that's a thing that's happening, right, since we know that they're going to have to feud with each other, there's only one place that he could have seen Jon Moxley, and that was on Dynamite because of COVID and everything that's going on there. So because of that, we saw this happen, and they jump on, they join each other, and it looks like the forbidden door is now open. Dave Meltzer announced that that partnership is officially going on now. So we know that AEW and New Japan are together. They're working together. If you go over to shootingthesportsish.com, our buddy Tanner here that writes for us, he actually wrote about the forbidden door being open. I have been waiting for this to happen for a long time. I'm a bit of a lapsed fan with wrestling, which if you watch the videos on this channel, that might be surprising to you because I just did a Royal Rumble review. But it's the Rumble. If you've ever been a wrestling fan in your life, you love the Royal Rumble. Like, the Royal Rumble is one of the most fun things you can watch in wrestling, right? So, you know that the Royal Rumble, sorry, I was sending out a link here to see if we can get some people to join live. And these chats are live. If you're listening to the podcast episode and you want to come join live, I'll do it on Saturdays, probably about 4 p.m. Eastern. Do it. That's right when my son takes his second nap for the day. So that's a good time for me to record. But anyway, I've been waiting for this to happen for some time. I think that it's a really, really good move for not only for AEW, but also for New Japan. Here's why. Before this happened, I don't know if I really thought that New Japan and AEW needed to work together before the pandemic, because AEW was doing pretty well. They're selling several tickets. They were running out of some steam on ticket sales toward the end before the pandemic, but they were doing fine. They were still getting plenty of interest in their product as ticket sales and stuff like that. New Japan, however, you have a bit of a, they were doing okay in the United States, but they weren't doing as well as they could have done in other markets. When they came to the United States, they could sell pretty well in like New York City, but they didn't necessarily sell real well everywhere that they were. And because of that, I thought that they kind of needed, AEW, but that they just really just needed to have more shows here and they would pick up interest. And they did. The G1 that they did here, people in Texas and Dallas that I was lucky to be at and cover for media when I was doing Smart to Death, people didn't necessarily, people weren't super happy with how big the crowd was for that, but I thought it was a good sized crowd. I was in that crowd. It was fine. It was like 4,000 people, 5,000 people, I think is what it was. I thought it was good for something that doesn't come to the United States all the time. Right. So, that was a nice thing. I thought they were doing well. Now the pandemic hits and then both of these companies are struggling. So you're talking about a company, two companies that are not selling tickets as much as they used to. Sure, AEW has fans every week at Dynamite, but it's not like these are full sold out arenas. And New Japan hasn't had a show here in a long time. By the time they actually get to travel back and forth from Japan again, it'll be almost 2 years since they've had their last big show in the United States. And that's a big deal, right? So they need AEW now. They need AEW because they need to be able to move tickets because, you know, they want to have a market in the United States. Since they want to have a market in the United States, they need AEW to help them with their already established market. The other thing is we know now that there's a Roku channel that's going to have New Japan on there once a week for 1 hour. You need to be able to get people to watch that show. How can you do that? Well, the big thing that the big crowd of people that are going to want to be able to see this are people that can watch this in real time for the first time in a long time, right? Like what they can watch New Japan at 5 p.m. on, I think it's Thursdays is when they're going to do it. And that's great. But you need to have people in the West, and specifically in North America, be interested in this channel. And how do you do that? Get your talent over on AEW. It's easier to move a few pieces over back and forth than it is your entire company to do shows. AEW also really needs New Japan because they need more players in the main event. You have Kenny Omega, and nobody else really in that main event scene is a name that's going to get a lapsed fan to listen. So for me, it's like, okay, Kenny's champion. That's great. I'm glad Kenny's champion. I love Kenny Omega. Who on that roster is going to make me give a damn about watching that show? Who's going to make me want to watch that show? And it's that match? Nobody, right? Like if Kenny's the champion and there's nobody that holds a candle to him, as far as me, someone that hasn't watched AEW Dynamite in almost a year, how am I going to care? Well, I'm going to care about who the matchups are. Now, if you can bring me over some New Japan talent to feud with Kenny over the AEW Dynamite Championship or AEW Championship, now you're talking about bringing some people like me that maybe got lapsed. Because there's a big crowd of lapsed fans in wrestling that have now moved on and aren't watching it anymore, right? Like they're not watching it because for whatever reason, right? The pandemic changed our watching habits. We started watching more TV shows that we hadn't watched in a long time. Maybe we started filling up our time that we were watching, you know, wrestling with Zoom calls with family and friends that we don't get to see as regularly as we used to. So that's a thing that you have to think about too, is how big of a difference viewing habits are now for these people. And that's not a bad thing. It's just true. So how do you get those fans back? Give them intriguing matchups. Give them that interest with the two companies working together. Tanner, who's joined here, says, what are the chances Bushiroad expands the agreement and provides Stardom talent to work with the AEW ladies? Stardom talent, I think, has already been kind of borrowed, haven't they? I think that they have, like Maki Ito, isn't she a Stardom talent? John's not here to tell me that. I think they have to, right? Like, I think that's another big thing. AEW definitely wins more because of that option. If Stardom can come, I do need a haircut, but I don't trust anybody to be in my face right now, right? Like, I don't want anybody breathing in my face during COVID and cutting my hair. Like, maybe if cases keep falling in Waco over the next, like, 2 weeks, then I'll go. All right, now. Yeah, I mean, Stardom wins big time here because they get to display some of their talent. But then also you have AEW needs help in their women's division big time because they don't have anybody. But it's weird, right? Because Stardom, like the Japanese or the Japan bracket of the AEW Dynamite women's tournament is happening only in Japan and only on YouTube, whereas the North American is happening. I knew who it was, Max. I knew the dig was you, brother. The North American side, I think, is happening on Dynamite. So it'll be interesting to see if Stardom and Bushiroad wants to send over Stardom talent for them just to be on YouTube, you know? Who knows? No idea. But yeah, I'm really interested in that merger. I think it's gonna be a really good, interesting thing to happen. I know it makes me want to actually show up and watch on Wednesdays. I will show up and watch this coming Wednesday. And I typically don't care. Like, I watch the Royal Rumble because it's the Royal Rumble, but otherwise I'm not really that invested or interested in watching wrestling again. However, I am interested to jump back in now that you're telling me that there can be some, you could maybe give me GOD versus the Young Bucks again. You could give me somehow, some way it's possible. We could maybe see Okada versus Kenny 5. That doesn't make me upset. We could maybe see Tanahashi come over and wrestle some of these other guys that are in AEW that we've not seen before. Brian Cage, we've never seen work with he never worked at G1. It'd be interesting to see Brian Cage versus like Ishii. Brian Cage versus Ishii would be so dope. You are also talking about now there's an opportunity for Jay White, who lives in Florida, to be able to come over and wrestle for Dynamite sometimes. Now you're talking about some interesting stuff. And then these other talents, like the tag division, whenever the world opens back up, hopefully very soon, and then over 2021, the world opens back up, you're telling me that you can send Private Party over to work in the junior tag league. You're talking about having the tag divisions actually, like AEW's tag division going over when they're not involved in the main event, working New Japan, FTR working New Japan in the tag league. These are things that are very interesting to me. It makes me want to watch both products. New Japan, I should have kept watching, but I just didn't because, you know, it's like, I just didn't actually. I can really give you a reason why. I don't know. I'm interested. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be great to see that. Let's move on talking about WandaVision. I don't know if you guys that are in here hanging out right now, and thanks for everybody joining here. If you guys could, please make sure to follow us everywhere at Shooting the Sports Ish or at Shoot Sports Ish. I'm sorry, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And then you can also check our website, shootingthesportsish.com. We're going to try to get some more people writing here, get some more stuff. If you're interested in writing about wrestling, if you're interested about writing about wrestling or sports, please let me know. We're not doing pop culture writing over on the site, but you never know. Maybe we get into it. Tanner says Kenny versus Kota with all the belts. Yes, that would be awesome. It'd be great. Also, make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe. Yes, those are all good things to mention as well. Let's talk about WandaVision. I am in love with this show. I'm absolutely in love with this show. And again, this isn't a sports topic here, but you know, why the hell not? Let's talk about some things. WandaVision started, this is episode 5. So we're 5 weeks into this show now, right? We're 5 weeks into WandaVision. And I immediately was in love with this show. I've not done an episode where I've reviewed this show yet, but from the very first day that I heard about this show and the premise and what they were going to do, the show was going to take place in different eras. It's very cool. WandaVision, so you know, Mags, you should know, and you are a loser for not knowing. Only Mags, it's not directed to anybody else listening. WandaVision is a Marvel show on Disney Plus. It has Wanda, or the Scarlet Witch, and Vision, the two Avengers. Vision, who has been resurrected. It is a fantastic show. It is very creative. Unlike the other Marvel shows, we have a show here, like, are there other Marvel movies where the plot makes, like, you can kind of guess what's happening in all the movies, even if it's awesome. WandaVision, we don't really know what the plot is, right? Like, we didn't really know for 4 weeks, and then this, now we kind of know what's going on now. But it is very interesting. I've been blown away by the performances by both the woman that played the Osborne sister, the Olsen sister, that Elizabeth Olsen that plays Wanda, and the gentleman that plays a Vision. No, not a cartoon. It's an actual TV show. It's like on Disney Plus, has the people from the Avengers, the actual characters from the Avengers movies. We even saw a cameo from the scientist that was in Thor Dark World and all of the Thor movies as well. So very, very good stuff. This show, I think, has been really interesting so far. It started off with in black and white, kind of like the Dick Van Dyke show, or not Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore show. So we see this, it starts off in the 50s, and then it moves to the 60s, and then it moves to the 70s, and then we're finally in the 80s this week. We had a little break in between that where they were kind of trying to tell us everything that's going on in the real world. So Wanda, Scarlet Witch, has this reality that she lives in, and it's very bizarre. The entire show so far we know happens in a small town called Westview that is happening in different time periods than what time period we're actually in. Yes, Vision was played by Paul Bettany. Thank you. I was going to look that up. He is still playing that character. He is in this show and he is fantastic. But so in the show, we know that it starts in the 50s. We have these, the, you know, Paul Bettany or the Vision and Scarlet Witch together are working together or living together, and they're married. They are a married family, and it does this weird, like, the show starts off with this weird American culture, this weird American, like the American family from the 50s that you saw, where the man goes to work and he does the job and the woman stays home and tends to the kitchen, tends to dinner, tends to all the wifely duties that would get, if you said that was a wifely duty seriously in 2021, you'd probably get canceled on the interwebs. And so Vision works at a computing company where he doesn't really know why he does it, but he just creates the, he just adds things up. They don't really know why. None of the people working there know why. We eventually find out that all of these people are under control by the Scarlet Witch. At least that's by who we think it is, the Scarlet Witch or Wanda. In the 60s episode, we see like, there's a talent show for the neighborhood. I mean, like really cliche things from sitcoms from those days, from the 50s, the 60s, from the 70s. There was this woman was having babies and she had it on TV. And then the 80s, we had the like Full House type family situation where this last episode, the dog died. And then the kids have to deal with, they have to deal with understanding that things die and that you have to learn how to grieve and you have to learn to get through it. But there were some interesting things that happened in this past episode. And so if you are not caught up with WandaVision and you want to be caught up and you don't want spoilers, end this episode now and come back another week. But I'll be talking about it every week. So last night's episode, wife and I are watching on TV, jaw completely dropped the whole time, just completely blown away by what's going on. We now know that Wanda does not want people in this reality that she's not comfortable with. If they are different and if they are threatening her home and how she wants things to be, she sends them away. So she sent away, oh my God, her name is escaping me and I'm so sorry, but she sent away the person that was supposed to be her neighbor, sent her away because she mentioned Ultron and she said, get out, I don't want you here. And then Wanda goes into the other side, outside of this dimension that she's created, and tells the director of S.W.O.R.D., to go away. She tells them to go away, to leave her alone. I will talk about that in a second. I'll talk about that after WandaVision, Mags. But anyway, so she doesn't want these people to threaten her home. She said, leave them alone. Leave us alone. This is my home, and I want you to leave me alone. She actually shows her... powers, like her full powers. We find out in this episode too, they finally admit, and if you're a comic fan, you know Scarlet Witch could have handled Thanos on her own if it wasn't for the way that Thanos attacked Earth. And we've known this, right? Like if you are a comic fan, you know that Scarlet Witch is the most powerful Avenger, and it's hands down, it's not close. The problem with Scarlet Witch is she's crazy. She's got some mental health issues, and those mental health issues make her completely unstable, and she can't she's too emotional to handle her real powers, which maybe is sexist that they made the female character the most powerful, but like, you know, hampered by her own mental stability, which is something, right? I don't know. But new fans definitely don't know how powerful she is, as Monotone Football says. And it is great to see her realize now. Yeah, you can definitely see how powerful she is because she goes over and she turns, these guns are all pointed at her, and she just basically like makes a little ball in her hand and turns all of them. Their gun points at the S.W.O.R.D. director. The like S.W.O.R.D. director tries to bring in like a 1980s like plane to shoot a missile and kill Scarlet Witch. And Scarlet Witch just like fucking kills that thing, takes it out, brings it out into the other thing, says, is this yours? So we're getting to see her full powers, which is really, really nice. Scarlet Witch versus Jean Grey from X-Men has not happened. It would be cool, but Jean Grey would get her ass whooped. I mean, there's not really any, she wouldn't have a chance. Would be cool. Jean Grey's dope, but Scarlet Witch is something else. Something else. No, they haven't done that. They haven't integrated any of the X-Men yet, but they kind of did last night. So the episode ends last night. We see... Yeah, she... I mean, yes, she has ripped out Ultron's heart like it was nothing, but yeah. What's up, Jam? Thanks for joining. Yeah, WandaVision's really dope. You should definitely check it out. It's worth it. If you haven't watched WandaVision yet, though, what I would tell you, my wife and I kind of wish we had did this, is what you watch week to week, and then you're like, damn, why didn't we... why did we watch this week to week when I could have waited till every episode was out and then know what's going on? Episode ends last night. We find out that she says she can't bring anybody back from the dead. So, but we do know that Scarlet Witch at one point went to where Vision's body was at, pulled him out, and somehow she revived him. There are theories, if you read Reddit, that there, this character named Mephisto exists within this realm. Mephisto is the devil. In comics. So let me see if I can show a screenshot of Mephisto here, a picture of him. He is the devil, they say, in the old comics. Let's see if I can get a good full screen picture pulled up here. And so some people assume, and I am of that belief as well, people assume that, oops, what am I doing here? Share the screen, Batow. Bam. So some people believe that this is Mephisto and that he is involved in the show. A lot of cool pictures of him throughout. And Mephisto is the devil. He represents the devil, of course. So he, we'll talk about that in a second, Caleb. So she thinks that they think that he's in charge, meaning like he has the ability to shape shift. He has the ability to create and control people. There is a theory that Vision, who is not human, but was put to life by the Mind Stone, that maybe Mephisto was able to somehow reincarnate him, somehow bring him back to life. And that she basically, in the comics, she trades her two kids, who she had twins, she trades her two kids in, basically says, bring back Vision to me and I will give you my, I will have twins and I will give you their lives. You can have them. You will take them. And so, there's a popular theory that that is what's going on. Is Mephisto is in charge. So last night, Scarlet Witch's brother, Pietro, or Quicksilver, as you know him, shows up. But it's not the Quicksilver that died in Age of Ultron. It is the Quicksilver from the Fox movies, from the X-Men Fox movies. And now people think, well, that's Mephisto. They thought they saw a red like twinkle in his hands in the mirror and then maybe a gray thing. There's lots of crazy fan theories going on that he's Mephisto. I don't think that. This is what I think is going on. I think Mephisto is involved. I think Agnes is Mephisto. In this episode, we also see Agnes, who is this character that is the neighbor. And she has said several things throughout the show that I thought were intriguing. We see in this episode that Wanda's not able to control her own kids. Okay. So she can't use her mind powers on her kids like she can on all these other residents. And like she can't on Vision either. So she's not able to mind control Vision. She can't control her kids. Agnes at one point says, kids, can't control them. And she's drinking something. She was trying to help them calm the kids and put them to sleep. She's unfazed too. These kids that Wanda has grow up from babies to 5 to 10 in the same episode. So they're 10 years old at the end of the episode that they were babies in, which is interesting. And I don't quite understand, but we'll know one day. They age themselves up. So I think that Agnes is Mephisto, because there's so many things in the episode that are very, very different. So like she mentions that you can't control them. Why does she know that? Why does she care? She also says, let's take it from the top. Like there's something goes on. Vision reacts a way that she didn't expect him to. She looks at Wanda and says, do you want me to take it from the top? As if they're rehearsing a TV show, as if they're going to refilm this thing. Or like Wanda was going to skip back in time, which we've seen her do throughout the episodes already. So she's unfazed by this. She's like completely comfortable with the TV show element of this, okay? Then she's also completely unfazed by the kids aging up twice. She sees them, literally sees them age from babies to 5 to 10. Nothing. She does not react. Then she has this dog. Like, they get a dog in this episode. The dog dies because it eats too much. Like, she says she ate too much of the leaves and the leaves kill the dog. I have two dogs. There are not that many kinds of leaves that kill dogs. There are not that many things that kill dogs. My dogs have licked frogs and lived to tell the story. Dogs don't die like that typically. Okay. They usually get hit by something, or they die because they get like old age or cancer or something. Okay. So I'm, like, those things happening, I thought, so she has the dog wrapped up like a baby. That's another thing I'll get into in a second. So what, like, to me, it is more likely that she has something to do with everything that's going on. She also can see everything happening. Like, when she comes into this episode, she brings over a doghouse. Why the hell she had a doghouse, just a great doghouse, I don't know. Seems like somebody with some powers would be able to do that of some sort. But she can see everything that's happening in the window, right? So Vision and Wanda almost get into a fight at the end of this episode. Like, the credits start to roll, and then Vision's still yelling at her. They get into it. They're about to fight. Then all of a sudden, they sit down. Doorbell rings. Pietro comes in. Agnes could have seen that happening. My thought is this. Mephisto has shapeshifted as both Agnes and Pietro. Agnes, because she's been so close with Wanda, has probably heard her talk about her brother. Probably knows about her brother, but doesn't know enough about her brother to really know what has happened. Wanda says in this episode that her brother is far away. To her kid, she says that I have a brother, but he's far away right now, and that makes me sad. Someone could have like accidentally shapeshifted to the wrong version of it and not known that there are multiple realities. We know there's going to be multiple dimensions in the Marvel Universe because Doctor Strange in the multiverse, and because Spider-Man's rumored to have all three Spider-Mans that have existed and multiple different villains in this episode, in that movie. So to me, that's what I think about. That's what I think. Like, it's going to be interesting for the rest of the series to pay attention if Agnes and Pietro are not in the same scene. And I don't think they will be, because of two things. One, either I'm right, or two, one of them is a red herring. So one of them 1000% is a red herring. Which of them is the red herring is my question. Is Pietro the red herring and it's actually Agnes that's Mephisto, or is it Mephisto has shapeshifted as Agnes and came in? Now, you might ask yourself, why did Wanda allow him to come in, and how come she didn't freak out immediately and send him away? And how was he able to get in without being confusing? Well, in this episode, we know that anything that goes in, we find out that anything that goes in that is like the time period they're in is not going to be weird or be changed. In X-Men First Class, they go back, or the First Class, or it's First Class. Days of Future Past, I'm sorry. Days of Future Past, they go back in time into the 80s. This version of Quicksilver exists, is alive. This is the version of Quicksilver we saw in the 1980s. That version of Quicksilver goes into the Hex and is able to, like, not change. So did Mephisto not know enough about the brother to know that the brother's dead? Or did Mephisto know enough to be able to get that version of Quicksilver from the 1980s, from that X-Men movie, bring him into this universe and use Pietro as a distraction so that we don't get the hand tipped? Because now Wanda is going to be skeptical of Pietro. Like, she does not know. We don't think that she knows there are multiple universes. In her mind, there are two realities. The one that she's created, that she's lived in, and the one on the outside that she went to keep people from fucking with her. So in my mind, Agnes is Mephisto. Mephisto has shapeshifted to Agnes, and now she's worried that someone's going to catch on. So now we have Pietro. This will keep her from tipping her hand. Agnes has never reacted strangely to anything that's going on. Nothing. She's not reacted strangely to anything that's happening. No concerns whatsoever. So I think that is an interesting thing to think about, for sure. I think that's what's going on in this. This is my guess based on that episode. Next week's episode could happen. I could be completely wrong, but there's something with it. That Mephisto either does not know enough. Mephisto either does not know enough to shapeshift into the dead Quicksilver, or knows enough to know that the Hex needs someone from the time period. And who would know that time period? Somebody that's already in that time period, Agnes. That is how I feel about it. I think this show is fucking fantastic, by the way. It's just a great, 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 great show. We'll get back to what Matt, let's get back into some wrestling talk from that, though. Parker Bordeaux quit college football and is joining the WWE, apparently. I will be honest that I don't know much of anything about Parker Bordeaux, except that he looks exactly like Brock Lesnar. He went to University of Central Florida. He is a big, big man. He is a huge, huge guy. He stands at 6'4", and he is 301 pounds. He was an offensive tackle playing at University of Central Florida. He probably wasn't good enough at football, so he will go and do wrestling. Oh, let's get into this one question from Monotone about WandaVision. Do you know what that offhand Captain Marvel comment was about? Yes. The woman, I can't remember her name, the woman that is was sent away from the Hex. That woman is the daughter of the pilot that was best friends with Captain Marvel back in the 60s or 70s, whatever time period that movie was from. So yes, that's what that was about. 315 pounds is Parker Bordeaux. They say he's the next Brock Lesnar. I'm guessing he just didn't. Was he just not going to be? Let's see what his NFL draft chances are. None. He's leaving UCF for a pro wrestling career, supposedly. He's ripped now. I mean, this guy was not ripped before. And Heyman has already tweeted about it. We'll pull that up real quick. Parker Bordeaux, we see Heyman said his tweet is not a prediction. It's a spoiler. Save this hustle tweet reference for future historical reference. Parker Bordeaux or Bordreau. I don't know how to say his name. 2021 is going to be something special. This guy is jacked. He looked, if you see here on the other side, that was him when he was playing off football. So he was he's a big boy. He's a big old boy for sure. I mean, this is WWE's bread and butter, right? These are the guys that WWE really loves to get. Massive fucking dude, 6'4", 315 pounds of muscle. He is going to show up in NXT and be in NXT for like 2.5 minutes and then be on the main roster no matter how green he is. Especially with him being a football player and him having some toughness. We also saw that he was with Eva Marie. Maybe Eva Marie is going to be a manager for him when they come back in together. I don't know. I don't know enough about what's going on in NXT these days. I don't think anybody does because not very many people watch it. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. We'll see what happens. I like this guy's huge, though. He's huge and he's young. And WWE really, really needs somebody that's not in their 30s to be able to carry the brand. He's like 21, 22 years old. This kid, like, think what you want about the two promotions. WWE, specifically WWE, the one with the most eyes on it, needs a really, really big star to get people to watch wrestling again that have not watched it for years and years. That's just the truth. It is. It's just the truth. You need people to understand that you need people to watch that weren't watching before. That's just the truth of the matter. And I'm okay with admitting that. You need another Brock Lesnar type guy to make people really care and make people believe that these wrestling stars are badasses. Because unfortunately, outside of Roman and Drew McIntyre, a lot of wrestlers are really small and people just don't care. And that doesn't mean these wrestlers aren't good or they're not great, but it is just true. People like to see freak of nature feats of strength. That is just the truth. That is just the truth for sure. Jose Canseco last night, boy, is there some drama in that Barstool Sports shit that was happening. Look at this. This is Jose Canseco versus Billy Football, the intern that works on Pardon My Takeover on Barstool Sports. So Canseco pretended to fight, takes a dive there and like basically throws himself. Last night, when you see this, it looks like Jose Canseco was knocked out, right? Apparently, according to one Dave Portnoy, which think what you want about Dave Portnoy, it doesn't matter right now. What matters is that Jose Canseco is a fucking douche. Jose Canseco I'm trying to pull up the tweet from Dave Portnoy. He tweeted out today. Conseco sold a bunch of pay-per-views. Okay. And we'll actually go ahead and pull the screen back up again. So, Jose didn't fight. He laid down in 5 seconds. We're going to add a more morality clause in future contracts. I want potential new headliners to know they can earn 7 figures for 3 minutes of fighting for us. So Barstool Sports is pissed. Dave Portnoy here says that Canseco got paid last night $50,000 guarantee. He would get $50,000 more if he had won. He also had a revenue share. If they broke the pay-per-view record for buys, they did. They shattered it. He made $1 million to fight for 5 seconds last night. Unfortunately, as we say in the wrestling business, as you say in the wrestling business, Dave Portnoy got worked by Jose Canseco. Jose Canseco, you know, fuck that guy, right? Like, that's terrible. He threw this fight. He did help them make a lot of money, though. And so my question is, like, I just don't know, is it bad that he threw the fight? Like, he just didn't want to lose. I mean, I guess he just didn't care to lose. So he didn't care enough to lose, didn't care about the fight. He still showed up for the fight, still made a lot of money for Barstool Sports, made himself $1 million too. I don't really know if there's any foul here. Like, it's still hilarious. It trended. Everyone's talking about it. I don't see where the issue is, personally, especially on Barstool Sports, where they have a gambling app now, a sportsbook app, that it doesn't hurt them to get this stuff, you know? I don't know. I wish he would have actually got KO'd too. Yeah, I wish so too. But it is what it is. You had people asking... Yet people had some feelings about it, but apparently they had 20 bucks for 20 fights is what they had, on that Barstool Sports boxing pay-per-view. I feel like this is a good thing. Boxing is kind of a dead sport. They got some people to watch this stuff. People are talking more about this than they talk about most fights. The last time people talked about a boxing fight was Wilder versus Fury last year, which I remember watching that. And then before that, nobody had talked about a fight since McGregor versus Mayweather. People don't talk about boxing anymore. At least they're talking, even though this is not really boxing, at least people are talking about it. I don't know. It is what it is. I just think it's interesting. I want to bring that point up. And, you know, we were going to talk about the game stonks, but I think we're going to stop there. I will probably do stuff like this. Tomorrow's Super Bowl. I think we're going to do a Super Bowl post show for sure tomorrow. We might do a Super Bowl pre-show. I'm going to see if I can get any of the guys from the network to kind of jump on, see if we can talk about some last minute predictions for the Super Bowl. Maybe do like a brunch type show. I think that'd be a lot of fun. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. We'll just kind of see what's going on. But thank you guys for hanging out. This is kind of an unorganized show, but I think we'll start looking at this next week, probably do some more. I might do a little wrestling chat, might do a little bit of pop culture chat. We'll talk about some other stuff. We'll continue talking about WandaVision every week, but that is my thoughts on WandaVision, on AEW, and then on the Jose Canseco thing. We'll just do a take three every week and see what happens. So I'm Tony. Subscribe, like, share. We'll see you next time.